We live in a world that is obsessed with facts, correct? Just the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts. We want facts from the doctor before they do surgery, right? Give me the facts, doc. What are the odds? What happens if I don't do it? What happens if I do do it? Give me the facts. We want facts from our mechanics before they do our repairs. We want facts from our financial investor advisors before we invest. We want facts from the news source before we believe it's true. I mean, we got to make sure we're searching out. Nowadays, we don't know what's fact from fiction, right? AI is really good about creating false facts. I see some of you falling for it all the time, getting upset about things that aren't even factual because you saw someone create an AI post about something that wasn't real. And so it's important to us to get the facts. I don't believe any news story until I've seen it from multiple places. And I do the research before I ever believe it's true. I just want the facts to be there, right? Why? Because facts make us feel secure. Facts make us deal with the things we can see, measure, and prove. And can I tell you, many people think that faith, biblical faith, is the opposite of facts. Many people think that biblical faith is just a blind leap in the dark. Oh, I just believe the Bible. I just believe God. Boom. And it's a blind leap without facts. And that's where people are so confused. And that's where many miss the mark when it comes to our faith. No, our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is not a leap in the dark without evidence. Our faith is something different about this. See, look at this. Biblical faith is not believing in spite of the facts. It's believing God because of the facts about who he is. And when you understand the scripture fully, you will understand the Bible continues to prove itself real decade after decade after decade. And God has done everything he says to us will happen, has already happened, or is just shortly around the corner from happening. And so we have so much evidence that allows us to see. It's not a blind faith. It's a faith that says, I believe what God says. I believe what the Word of God says. See, faith is built on the character of God. Faith is not built on my character. It's based on God's character. So today, I'm going to give you some good facts, just the facts about faith that are going to help you grow in your faith. Let's go back to our opening text we used last week, Hebrews 11:6. Let's read it together. And without, one more time, we got to say it loud. Come on, say it with me. Come on, this is the second service. You guys are more awake, and I need you to preach with me this morning, so help me out. And without faith, there you go, it is possible to please God. How many want to please God? Then we can't afford to be elementary in our understanding of faith. I want to please God, and it becomes the foundation of our Christian walk is based on faith. So we can't live an elementary understanding every year of our life. There needs to be growth, and we understand this. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. As we grow in our faith today, you say, Pastor, I just need a better definition. What does a biblical faith look like? Here, I made this just for you today. I'm glad you asked that question. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth all the time. Faith believes that God, you said it, you will do it. God, you said it, you meant it, I believe it. And I believe, faith is, I just believe, I gotta believe someone's word, and I choose to believe that God's word is who he says he is. He is who he said he was and is and shall be in Jesus' name. I believe that. See, mature faith is not necessarily big faith. And I think many of us in here, we think that. We think, just, I want to be mature, and so I'm going to have this giant faith. And can I get you to kind of rethink that today? That mature faith is not necessarily big faith, but wide faith. See, this is where I think we have got to grow in the scope of our faith. Many of us is too narrow. It's not that it's too small, it's just too narrow. What do you mean, Pastor? For many of us, we understand this, that we believe that God, we have faith that God can save us, but then we don't have faith that God can heal us when we're sick. Or we believe, God, you can heal the sick. We have faith for that, but I don't have faith that you can improve my job. Oh, I believe he can improve my job, but I don't have faith he can improve my marriage. You see what I'm saying? What I want you to get at, for many people, the immature say, well, I'm here on Sunday, and I'm walking in faith, and faith becomes just one piece of the pie of our life. One slice is faith. And then I do my own thing on Monday and something else on Tuesday. No. See, faith should be scoped out. I got news for you today. God is not interested in just being one piece of the pie. He wants to be in every piece of the pie of our life. Faith should be growing in every area of our life. Am I using faith in every area of my life? This becomes the real question. Am I just using it on Sunday, or am I using it for all the different areas of my life?
So how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you four facts today. They're going to help you grow in your faith. Fact number one, faith is measured to us. All of us receive a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Let's look at this. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than they ought to, but think with a sober judgment, each according to the, each of us according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to us. So all of us here have a problem. Number one, the first problem we have is, he said, stay sober about your thinking about yourself. What's that mean, Pastor? That means too many people then and today are way too intoxicated with themselves. I can do this. I accomplished this. I can handle this. I can carry this. He said, don't quit being intoxicated. Be sober-minded when you think about yourself. Quit thinking it's you. No. It's the power of faith alive in me. He says, then faith is given to us in measurements. I got news for you today, and it may burst somebody's bubble, but someone's got to tell you. I know, not everyone receives the same amount of faith. I know, that is heartbreaking. That's not fair. You're right. And the Bible was very clear. Sometimes it's just not fair. How many know favor is not always fair? It's not. And so the Bible tells us, like, don't be tripped up because somebody else received a greater portion of faith than you did to start out. Jesus even taught this in the parable, several parables, but one of them in particular was the parable of the vineyard workers. Remember that? It says that Jesus told the story about the owner who needed some work done. So he went down to the local Home Depot and he loaded up his truck with all kinds of workers. He says, if you come and work for me, I'll give you $200 to come and work a full day. And they all agreed and they loaded up and they went down and they worked. And about halfway through the day, the owner's like, man, we're doing a good job, but we're not going to make it by closing time. I got to get the quota done. I need to go find some more workers. So he went back down, and he found some more people. And he said, I'll pay you $200. I'm paying everybody $200 that comes out and help. Would you do it? and they agreed and they came out and they worked and it got down to the last hour, close to the last hour, and they're getting close, but they need some more help. And he goes out and he finds another group of workers. Hey, man, I'll give you $200. Come and help us finish off. I got to have this done. And they all do it and the work is completed and it's time to be paid. And the Bible says he told the foreman, hey, you pay them by the person who worked the least amount of hours first. So the person who worked the least, only worked an hour, they got $200. And then those who only worked a half a day, they got $200. And then the people who worked all day long, they got $200. And they're like, time out. This is not fair. They got paid the same amount as we did, and we worked all day long. And the owner said to them, did we not agree upon a price? Did I not pay you what we agreed upon? Why are you mad? Because I want to be nice to somebody else and pay them the same amount. What is it to you what I do with my money? He's like, frankly, it's none of your business. I paid you what we agreed upon. Quit worrying about what I'm paying everybody else. I paid you exactly what I told you I would pay you. And that's what happens to us many times in our life. We look and we're like, man, that's not fair. They got this and they got this and they got this. And God's like, quit worrying about them. Get your eyes off of other people and get your eyes on what I have done in your life. See, some people are just full of faith. I met these people. You know what I'm talking about? They come in. Some of you talked to them this morning already. As soon as you come in, they gave you a holy greeting. Man, they shook your hand, they hugged your neck, and they're like, what's wrong? You told them what's wrong, and they laid hands on you in the foyer. They were praying for you when you sat down, already encouraging you and helping you with faith on something you're going. I mean, they're just full of faith. They're ready to pray, and God just seems to like answer a lot of their prayers. I've seen those people. And then a lot of people I know, man, for being honest, they're just walking in a little faith. They have faith, but it's just kind of like barely there at times. Anyone ever relate to that? And he says, this is what happened. We've all been given a measure of faith. The question is not how much faith do I have? See, we got to rethink our attitude toward faith. The question is not how much faith do I have? The real question is, how am I stewarding the faith I've been given? That's the real question we must all give an account for today. How am I stewarding whatever measure of faith, big or small or in between, that God has given to me? Which brings the second part of our faith facts today. Number two, faith is developed by us. God gives it to us in different measurements, but it is called to be developed by us. Look at Matthew 25, verses 14 through 15. And he starts off, before he gets to this, Jesus starts off this chapter 14 by saying, the kingdom of God is like this. And then he goes on to tell a couple of stories, and this is one of the stories. And it says this, let's read it together. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave what? Five. To another he gave two. And to another he gave one. That's not fair. I just take it up with Jesus, not me. To each according to what? His ability. Then he went away. So we see this pattern here. It's not fair. One got five talents, one got two talents, and one got one talent. This is not fair. I mean, I can get mad thinking about this. We live in America. We have rights, you know. Sorry, this is not the Bible. The Bible says that each of us is given a measure of faith. And we see through several teachings, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. What's that mean? That means I have my opinion, you have your opinion, and you have your opinion, and you have your opinion, but our opinions don't matter. Jesus says, time out, I know all of you got your opinion, but let me, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who knows the kingdom of heaven, sent down on earth to tell you what the kingdom of heaven is really like. That way, he becomes the authority. How many think Jesus is the authority on explaining the kingdom of heaven? And this is what he says. Well, that's not a fair gospel. I'm not preaching a fair gospel. I'm preaching a kingdom gospel. And it says that God gives each one differently. I know. Favor's not fair sometimes. But the great news is this. You want to know what the fair part of this story is? The fair part is the same biblical truth you will find throughout Scripture. It's always the same. If you and I will steward well whatever amount we have been given, God will always reward us with more. What are you saying, Pastor? Look at this. What we start with is not what we have to end with. That's on you. And there's people who will start with a lot and they will end with nothing because they didn't steward the lot they were given. And there's others who receive a small amount and they stewarded it well and they were given more. And then they stewarded that well and they were given even more. And then they stewarded that well and now they're walking in abundance because what you start with is not what you have to end with. That is fair. That is God's way of the kingdom. God will always honor our faith when we steward it well. And so what do we see happening here? The one who had five, when the owner came back, he goes, I took your five and I multiplied it and I got five more. And it says, the owner said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The one who was only given two, he took it, he said, I took your two and I multiplied it and I got two more. And he goes, well done, the same thing. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. The one who had one talent said, you only gave me one and I didn't want to lose it. So I buried it so I wouldn't lose it. I buried it and I sat on it. Like anybody you know, don't name any names. Took the small talent they had been given. Small faith they had been given. Never used it. What did the owner say to them? You wicked and lazy servant. He'll take the one you had and take it away now because you didn't invest or steward the little I gave to you. See, look at this in verse 20 and 21 of Matthew 25. And he who had received the five talents came forward bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents here. I have made five talents more. His master said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now look at the end of this. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. When I begin to operate and steward whatever measure of faith God has given me, big or small, when I begin to steward that well, it opens up the door that pleases the owner. And he says, enter into my joy. Enter into my joy. And he says, you are a good and faithful servant. Walk in the joy of the Lord. Walk in the blessing. I will make you ruler over much. See, operating in faith will unlock the joy of the Lord when I steward it well. And then look what says 2 Thessalonians 1 through 3 says, chapter 1, verse 3, we ought to always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because of your faith is, come on now, I need you to help me, your faith is growing abundantly. He didn't say your faith is slightly growing. He says it's growing abundantly. And the love, man, the love every one of you for one another, he goes, it's increasing. You see, faith is increasing and the love they have for each other is increasing. Listen to me. Faith grows And faith should grow in every believer. And the sad thing is many people use faith at salvation, then they never operate in faith ever again in their life. And therefore, they live at such a dormant place that God has for them. I want to walk in the abundance of the blessings of God. I want to walk in the fullness of the power that God has for my life. And that happens when I steward well through the faith that God has given you and me. Look what it says here. How do we grow in faith? You want to know how to grow in faith? How many want to know how to grow in your faith? Pastor, just tell me how to grow in faith. I'm glad you asked. Romans 10:17. Let's read it together. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What are you saying? It's pretty easy. We understand that faith comes through reading the word and hearing the word. May I say something to you that may ruffle your feathers a little bit? That's okay, right? Reading the word alone, or coming to a Sunday like today and hearing the word alone, it won't grow your faith. Not the way that God really wants it. It may ignite it, it may spark it, but if you want your faith to really grow, combine reading the word throughout the week and then hearing the word on the weekend, and the two together, God says it will cause faith to grow. I had somebody after the first service who's a new Christian. He said, Pastor, I wrote down 2 weeks ago some of the exact things you were saying this morning, and it blew my mind. I said, you were reading the word, you wrote something down, and then you heard me say almost the exact same thing, and it built your faith up because you're like, oh, I must be hearing the Spirit of God moving in my life, and it increased his faith. See, there's something happens when you increase the reading of the word with the listening of the word. The two together is what God is wanting us to combine in our life. Some of us haven't read the word in a while. Some of you cleared out the verse of the day every day last week and didn't even open that text and read it. Oh, I guess I'm talking to somebody else today. Okay. That's for all the people who skipped church today because of the holiday weekend. That was not for you, right? We can all be there. We know it's easy to fall in that trap, but I got to steward it well. I got to put the word in. I got to put the word in. So when I hear the word, it grows the faith in my life. And then number three, faith works by love. Faith works by love. Look what Galatians 5:6 teaches us. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only what? Faith working through love. What was happening here? The Jews and the Gentiles were always arguing. After Jesus died and was resurrected, they were always arguing about theology, how to grow your faith and faith in God, who really had the deepest faith in God. It's like this big competition. And then the Jews would always try to use like the old law and like, man, if you really have faith in God, you'll get circumcised, you Gentiles, like us. And these grown men are like, so sad, it ain't happening. You should have done that when I was a baby. I ain't doing it now as an adult. I've seen those dull stones you guys use, that's dumb. So they're arguing back and forth. That's not even sanitary. What are you trying to do? And so this whole thing's going forth, and they're fighting. And they think, well, you don't have to do this, and you do have to do this. And Paul comes in and is like, you're both wrong. Time out. You're both wrong. Paul says, you're both wrong. He says, faith grows from a revelation of how much God loves us. When you understand how great God's love is for each one of us, it allows my faith level to increase. Raise the level of the lid of your faith knowledge. Raise the level of how much God loves you, and it will raise the level of your faith. The more I understand how much God loves me, the more my faith will grow. It goes hand in hand. And this was what Paul was trying to teach the Jews and the Gentiles and speaking to us today is this. Look at this. My revelation of God's love will determine how strong my faith is. Do I have strong faith? Then you have a strong revelation of how much God really loves you. Wow. When I understand how strong is that faith. Let me give you an example. Let's say you come in this week, and this week, man, you just had a great week. You walked in, man, you're like, you know what? This week, I've read my Bible 3 days this week. I even listened to Pastor Gene's sermon again on Tuesday night. It was awesome. I heard it a second time. I even got a good podcast in about the Bible earlier this week. I pulled over and helped an old lady change her tire. I had such a great week. I did such a good job of being a Christian this week. And I come in, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, my dear brother. Boom, hallelujah, you know. And you get a blessing, and you get a blessing, hallelujah. You know, we just feel like spiritual giants. And we come in, and we're singing about the goodness of God. And we're like, the goodness of God is right here in my hands. I can feel it. I mean, we're just like right there, you know. And then other times, we're like, well, this week, I kind of stunk it up as a Christian. I erased and deleted all my scripture texts. I didn't open the Bible once. I pushed the old lady over instead of helping her. I passed two people that needed help, and I just ignored it because I was in a hurry. I just had a horrible week. And then we walk into church because we've blown it this week, and we're like, I wish they'd hurry up and get done with the song because I'm feeling guilty and I'm not worthy to be praising today. And yeah, and we don't respond because we don't think that we deserve to worship God because we had a bad week. You see, faith says this, the more I understand that even as much as God loves me when I'm doing really good, his love doesn't change when I've had the worst week of my life. He still loves me, and my worship is not based on my performance. My worship is based on God's performance. That while we were yet sinners, he died for me. When we mocked him, when we rejected him, when we disappointed him, he already died on the cross for our sin. He already forgave us. He's already paid the price for our sin. It's the great love. See, my faith is based on God's performance, and this is God's performance, Romans 8, 38 and 39, one of my favorite verses, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our hope today. That's why we worship. That's why my faith increases. That's why I can lift my hands in confidence, because it's not based on my performance. It's based on God's performance. And we see that. So we understand that. And the last point I'm going to give you today, number four, faith is responded to by God. God responds to faith because faith honors God. God honors faith. Because faith honors God, God honors faith. God will respond to your faith. That's why I steward it. That's why I use it. God honors our faith. God responds to our faith. I love this story. It really paints this picture for us. It's a great story in Matthew 9. We're going to read verses 27 through 30 of two blind men who were crying out to Jesus one day. Let's pick it up together. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out loud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him as well and said, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe? He says, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were immediately opened. Just another amazing miracle we've seen Jesus do. The Bible says there were so many of these kind of miracles that the books alone in the world could not contain every story. We only see a handful of stories in the Gospels. But the Bible says we've seen all of the stories the books in the world couldn't contain. Think about it. So when Jesus went to a town like this, because of all the people being healed, because of the people being resurrected from the dead, because of the sick being healed, the blind seeing, the leprosy being healed, the crippled walking again, his fame is growing and spreading across the region. And everywhere Jesus went, the multitudes came looking for him. Can you imagine it? I mean, the Bible describes at one time, remember the woman with the issue of blood we talked about last week? The crowd was so heavy around Jesus that she had to get on her hands and knees and crawl through people's legs and around their feet just to try to get to the hem of his garment. Why? Because everybody's pressing him. Can you imagine? Everybody, "Jesus, heal my baby. Jesus, heal my eyes. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, I need this. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help my family. Jesus, help my children." I mean, everywhere, every need, people are coming to him, asking of him. But two blind men, they cry out differently. Everybody else is, "Jesus, heal me, help me." And these blind men said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Son of David. Wait, Son of David? Why would that be so much different? Because the prophecy had been told that the coming Messiah would come from the lineage of David. And at this time, Jesus hadn't died on the cross, been buried in the tomb, and resurrected again. So many people, although they wanted Jesus to heal them, they wanted something from Jesus. They just saw him as a great teacher, a healer, maybe a prophet. But these blind men who were physically blind saw something in the supernatural that the people who could see could not see. They said, "This man, Jesus, the Son of David, you are the Messiah. We see you are the Son of God. We understand that you are the Messiah. You are the one the prophets wrote about. Messiah, have mercy on us," is what they were saying. And it moved Jesus. Wait. They don't know. How do they know? By faith, they believed he was the Messiah. When everybody else was rejecting that he might be the Messiah, they were already rejecting it because he was not coming the way they thought the Messiah should come. So they just took him as a good teacher, a prophet. But they saw something the crowd couldn't see. They saw the Messiah. And Jesus says, "Because of your faith, because you saw things nobody else could see, you're made whole." And can I challenge you today in my closing thought that even when the world doesn't see Jesus as King, may we never, ever stop saying, "He will always be my King. I will forever lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He forever will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And whether you believe it or not, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all. I'm just choosing to do it right now. See, faith says I choose to see Jesus now as Lord. And if I choose to see him as Lord, then I begin to steward my life like everything he says is true. That's where faith grows.